WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 9 of Pulse the Nation. I am your host, Brandon Vick, and today we're going to do something a little bit different. Usually, when I do Pulse of the Nation episodes, I analyze things that have happened currently. Like, the first episode, I remember, analyzed elections in Wisconsin, Chicago, the state Supreme Court election and the mayoral election specifically. And other times, you know, with the news flash, you know, we're going to discuss the news of the week and do special topics, undertaking discussions about specific events that have happened and are currently happening in that time. And just giving my takes, thoughts, analysis, what have you. But we're going to do something a little bit different today. We're going to analyze 2024, specifically the state of Texas. And I'm going to just go ahead and look at, you know, the state of play in that state. And a once solidly Republican state, but in the Trump era, has turned surprisingly competitive. And the question that I'm going to be asking myself and I'm going to be attempting to answer is, can Democrats truly be competitive in Texas, and what are the chances that they might do the unthinkable and win a statewide race in Texas, whether that's at the presidential level or at the Senate level? So this is going to be a bit of a longer one, I believe, so bear with me here. It's not as far-fetched as we think it's going to be, so let's cast our minds to 2012, and I'm going to be using my computer, I'm going to be using Jay Kach's partisan trend, Jack Kirsting, his model of every county statewide partisanship relative to 2000. So let's go to 2012. So we'll start there. Mitt Romney, a very good candidate with the suburbs in Texas, went red by about 16 points. And every major metro area trended red relative to 2008, save for El Paso. I mean, you had San Antonio, Bayer County shifted a point right. Travis County, where Austin is, shifted 5.5 points right. Dallas County slightly shifted left, but like a tenth of a percentage point, so basically nothing. But Collin County shifted 6 points left, which is to the north of Dallas. Denton to the northwest of Dallas shifted over 7 points right. Tarrant County to the west shifted 4 points right. Harris County, where Houston is, trended about 1.6 points right, almost to the point where Romney almost won Harris County. It was within a few hundred votes, if I remember correctly. Less than 600 votes. I have the numbers up now. Fort Bend to the southwest of Harris went red by 7 points, 4.5 points shift. You get the point. It looked that, you know, Mitt Romney was helping to establish Texas as a reliable Republican state. Even as Barack Obama had shifted the state, you know, a solid 11 points left from 2004 to 2008, some people were talking, you know, with the blue shifts in heavily Hispanic Latino areas, especially in the Rio Grande Valley. Hidalgo County went 28 points left. Cameron went 30 points left. I mean, Democrats flipped Harris County, which was once reliably Republican during the Bush era. Travis County shifted 15 points left. Dallas shifted 16 points left. And, you know, people were thinking, well, if Democrats can shift at 5 points left, then you think Texas might be competitive. Then Mitt Romney comes around and puts all those dreams to rest. But from 2012 to 2016, something interesting happens. Donald Trump went on his way to have a shock presidential election victory. I mean, shocking in the minds of experts. Hillary Clinton did something very interesting. She shifted Texas left by just under 7 points. It went from R by 16 to R by 9, essentially. And something that was very interesting to me when I was looking back, was back at what happened, is that the major metro areas shifted left. Again, not as heavily as 2008, from 2004 to 2008, but, you know, it seemed to be more of a suburban revolt. Like, Dallas County shifted 11 points left, Collin nearly 15 points, Denton nearly 12, Tarrant shifted 7 points left. You know, let's talk about Williamson County. That's to the north of Austin. It shifted nearly 12 points left. It went from R by 22 to R by 10. Hayes County to the south of Austin went from R by 10 to Hillary Clinton coming within a point of winning the county. And Harris County shift a 12-point slug that went from an essentially a tie to a 12-point Democratic victory, which is very, very important, by the way. Harris County is by far and away the most populous county in the state of Texas, and it's going to be very important to our conversation going forward. But Hillary Clinton also flipped Fort Bend County. It went from Romney by 7 to Clinton by 6.5. Barrett County went 9 points left from Obama by 4.5 or so to Clinton by 13.5. El Paso shifted 10 points left, and people were thinking again, 2020, it's unlikely Texas flips, but, if Democrats can keep chopping away at those margins, eventually you're going to find yourself in a competitive race. And it kind of was the case in 2020. Trump won the state by 5.5 points. Let's just take back for a second. You had in 2012, Mitt Romney won the state by 15.5 points. 2016 is a shift. Let me go back. 2012 was a 16-point Romney victory. Now it's a 5.5-point Trump victory. That's a 10-point shift over 8 years for what it's worth. And what it was driven largely by what I like to call the Texas Triangle, that area from the Austin, the San Antonio metro up through Austin, going north through Dallas, and then going back down southeast to Houston, and then west towards San Antonio. So here's some things to consider when you're considering 2024 in Texas. People say, it's just too red. People say, Texas was all by 6 in 2020. Greg Abbott won by 12 points in 2022. All the statewide Republicans won in Texas pretty comfortably. But let me take you to another state. And this isn't an apples-to-apples comparison. It's an apples-to-oranges comparison. I fully know that. But let's talk about Georgia for a second. Because Georgia, Trump won the state by 5 points in 2016. Brian Kemp had won a close, sleek, and contested gubernatorial contest against Stacey Abrams in 2018 during the Blue Wave election. People would have thought that Georgia would be too red for Biden to beat Trump in 2020, yet Biden won the state. It was by 0.2 percentage point, but he still won the state. And now people are talking about Georgia as essentially one of the anchors for a new Democratic majority now. Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff won in 2021. Warnock won again in 2022. Yes, Brian Kemp did beat Stacey Abrams by a very comfortable margin, 7.5 points. But something that you also have to consider is the fact that Republicans do better down ballot in once reliably Republican states. And two, down ballot trends often lag the top of the ticket. So there's that to consider as well. Now, going from 2016 to 2020, from 9 points to 5.5, there's about a 3.5-point shift left. So people would say, even if it gets to within 2 to 3 points, you would expect Texas to flip blue. Now, I'm going to make a case for and against Texas flipping blue on the presidential level. And to make the case for flipping, I'm not saying it's going to, I'm not saying it won't. But the case for it flipping is that, yes, the swings don't exactly look great in terms of flipping it, but Texas is becoming less and less and less red. That part you cannot deny. 2018, Beto O'Rourke came within 3 points of unseating a Republican incumbent in Texas. We'll get to that incumbent later. He is another important part of the story. In 2020, Joe Biden came within 6 points of beating Trump in Texas. If you look at the current trends of each county in Texas, a couple of things start to come up. One thing that is very positive for Democrats, the Texas Triangle I talked about earlier, it is shifting left at an astonishing rate. We'll go from San Antonio to Houston to Dallas. So start in San Antonio, start in Bear County. Shifts, from Clinton by 13.5 to Biden by 18. Around a 4.5 to 5-point shift left. Not exactly what you would consider flippable margins, but here's the thing about Bear. It's got a very high Latino population. And Latinos in Texas swung pretty heavily to the right. And it's a similar story when you look at Harris County as well. You're looking at the precinct swings. A lot of the heavily Hispanic areas of San Antonio swung to the right, but they were pretty muted compared to Harris and compared to, of course, South Texas. But that is something to consider as well. And despite that, the fact that Bayer shifted about 5 points to the left because of the suburbs of San Antonio has to be seen as nothing more than good news for Democrats. And when you take a look at the Austin metro area, you get even more good news, because in 2020, Joe Biden flipped Hays County and Williamson County, which essentially south and north of Travis County, which also shifted 6 points left. It went for Biden by 45 points. Hays County went to Biden by 11 points. So Warwick, I believe, won it by a similar margin in 2022. And Williamson County flipped blue. Went from Moore by 10 to Biden by 1.5. So those swings are indicative of a Texas that is right to flip, if not in 2024, by 2028, for sure. And those swings, if repeated amongst a lot of Texas's most populated areas, would be enough for it to go blue by 2024. And if you take a look north of Williamson, take a look at Bell County, you know, which is to the north of Williamson, it went from R by 15 to R by 8.5. Like, that's a 6.5-point swing left. Like, you could say it definitely could go under 4 or 3 points. It could go under 3 points, potentially, you know, if you repeat the swing from 2016 to 2020 and repeat that to 2024. And what about the two counties to the east of Austin? What about Caldwell and Bastrop counties? You know, they are increasingly being influenced by Austin. And something to know about Travis County is that the east of Travis County is heavily Latino. And guess where Bastrop and Caldwell are? They are to the east of Austin, the East Austin Metro. So those two counties are becoming more heavily Latino and have more Democratic. Caldwell went from R by 16 to R by 9. Bastrop went from R by 20 to R by 14, for the love of God. So there's that to consider. I mean, Caldwell looks like it's going to be definitely under 5 points. Bastrop could go under 10 points, the Republican margin there. So that's something to consider as well. And, you know, McLennan County, yes, it only went 4 points left. That's where Waco is, for those who don't exactly understand Texas geography all that well. And I don't blame you. It's a very big state. And McLennan went from R by 27 to R by 23.5. So, again, 3.5 to 4 point shift left, something to consider as well. As, you know, you see, you know, as Waco becomes more interconnected with Austin in the future, you can see McLennan start to shift more to the left. Bell County has the cities of Killeen and Temple and whatnot as well. And what about Coryell County to the northwest of Bell County? It's a very Republican county. Went to Trump by 40 in 2016, but then, you know, it went to Trump 34, 39.5 to 33.5. That's a 6 point shift left. And you could see that start to accelerate as, you know, these areas, as well as areas to the west of Austin, super Republican areas with high education rates. You look at Kendall County, which is north of San Antonio, super high college education rates, but it was reliably Republican, extremely Republican, so much so in 2012, the Mitt Romney won it by over 64 points. 2016, Donald Trump can only get a 60-point margin. In 2020, that's a 53-point margin, so an 11-point shift left in 8 years, 7 points in 4 years, and considering the way in which college-educated voters are shifting to the Democratic Party, you can even see that start to accelerate in the coming years. And what about Comal County? Comal is in between San Antonio and Austin. It is super lively Republican as well. In 2012, Mitt Romney won it by 54 points. 2016 comes around, it's just 4 points left, Trump by 50. And then 2020, Trump wins it by less than 43 points. So again, you see an over 11-point shift left in that county over 8 years. What is to say that can accelerate as well with the developments around New Braunfels? I think New Braunfels is it in Comal or is it in Hays? I don't know, but you know, the New Braunfels area is also rapidly populating and is growing college education rates. So there's that to consider as well. Also, Blanco and Burnett counties could also be affected by this, which are west of Travis County and are super reliably Republican. But again, as the influence of Austin grows on its metro, start to see these counties shifting left. I mean, Blanco shifted 5 points left from 2016 to 2020. Burnett shifted 3.5 points left. Then you go up north, then you take a look at Dallas. Then you take a look at counties like Ellis and Johnson. Johnson will start there. It's a bit less of a swing because, you know, Trump won it by 58 points in 2016, but go to 2020, but south of Tarrant County, shifted over 5 points left. Trump only won it by 53 points last time around. Then you take a look at Tarrant County. This is where Arlington and Fort Worth are, for what it's worth. This is where Jerry World is. This is the home of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's usually reliably Republican, but it has closely followed the trend of Texas politics. Like, until 2020, whatever margin Tarrant County was, that was going to be about the margin that a Republican won in Texas. And this was true from 2000 all the way up to 2016. It shifted right and shifted left across, along with the state. In 2008, it was essentially all about 11.7. 2008, McCain won the state by 11.8 percentage points. In 2012, Tarrant County was won by Romney by 15.7 points. Romney won the state by 15.8 points. In 2016, Donald Trump wins Tarrant County by 8.7 points. Trump wins the state by 9 points. But then 2020 comes around, and Tarrant County votes blue. Joe Biden wins the county by 0.2 of a percentage point, as Trump wins the state by 5.6 points. Look, Tarrant County voted for Biden with under 2,000 vote margin, with over 800,000 votes cast in the county. That's a seismic political shift all its own. Tarrant is starting to accelerate leftwards faster than the state of Texas. And you'd start to see that accelerate, not just Arlington and Fort Worth, but, you know, also Colleyville and other suburbs as well. Then you move up north from Tarrant, you go to Denton County. This is where Denton is. This is northwest of Dallas. And again, it was very reliably Republican, although it didn't match the state of Texas. I mean, it used to be R by 40 during the Bush years, then it went to R by 31 during the Romney era, but then from 2012 to 2016. In 2012, Romney won by 32 points. 2016, Trump wins by 20 points. That's an 11.5 to 12 point shift. Probably, 11.5 point shift left over 4 years. Come 2020, it goes from Trump by 20 to Trump by 8. That's a 12-point shift. So in 8 years, Denton County shifts left by over 23 percentage points, close to 24 percentage points in actuality. So, and this is an area we have a lot of college-educated voters. Denton County is becoming more diverse. There's a bit more of the growing, you know, Asian community, particularly Asian Indian community, I say so myself, and you could say the same thing for a lot of Dallas suburbs, especially in, less so in Tarrant, but especially in Denton, and especially in Collin counties. Then you could say, well, if that swing happened the same time two elections running, and there's still a suburban revolt against the Republican Party, what's to say Joe Biden can't win Denton County? What's to say he can't win Denton County? And I think that actually Joe Biden winning Denton is going to be absolutely crucial for Democratic chances to do the unthinkable. And the same thing happens with Collin, except Collin is about 4 points to the left of Denton. But again, you see a similar story. 2012, Mitt Romney wins the county by 32 points. 2016, Trump wins the county by 17 points. That's nearly a 15-point shift left from one election to the other. That is pretty much unheard of, and that made Collin one of the fastest left-trending counties in the nation. The same thing happens in 2020. Trump wins it in 2016 by 17 points. 2020 comes around, Trump wins it by just over 4 points. That's a nearly 13-point shift left, for the love of God. And Collin County, especially in the southwest, is seeing a lot of Asian Indians coming in, moving into the area, and diversifying the county. Collin County also has very high college education rates, and thus you see a suburban revolt. So again, from 2012 to 2020, 27-point shift left over 8 years. 2016 to 2020, about a 13-point shift left. I'll say this, if Democrats want to win Texas, they not only have to flip Collin County, but I'd say they probably have to win it by about at least 4 points. At least. Because of the way in which Collin has been trending, way it has been shifting, Democrats need to aim for over a 4-point or even over a 5-point victory in Collin County in 2024. Like, you would think, well, that's a hard ask, but it can absolutely be done. And I think that should Democrats win the state of Texas, whether it's at the presidential level, whether it's at the Senate level, in which I will get to, Collin County flipping will be a key reason why. And then you go to Dallas County. I mean, as wealthy as Dallas is, it's the Democratic bedrock of the metro area. It did, however, vote Republican during the Bush years. Bush won it by 8 points in 2000, by 1.5 in 2004. But it's been shifting left ever since 2000. 2008, Obama won it by 15 points. He shifted it the tiniest bit left in 2012. Then Clinton comes in, shifts the county by 11 points left, from D by 15 to Democrat by 26. And then Biden comes around, that's another 5-point shift left in Dallas. And you have to consider the fact that of Republican gains with voters of color, like some black voters, especially a lot of Hispanic Latino voters, starting to shift to the right a little bit. But because of the suburban revolt again in Dallas, I mean, University Park, Highland Park being two examples, very Republican suburbs, but they're starting to shift left. That was a big reason why Dallas shifted 5 points left. Then you move to the east, you move to Rockwall County. I mean, this is kind of a weird case. I don't know why Rockwall County exists. A pretty small county by land area, but fast-growing suburbs and exurbs of Dallas, you know. And it's a similar story to the likes of Denton and Collin County. I mean, it starts out like about 20 points more Republican, 20 to 30 points more Republican. And in 2012, you know, Mitt Romney won it by over 53 points, but then Clinton swings at 6 points left, and then Biden swings at 10 points left. So, again, you see Democrats, if you want to flip Texas, you have to keep Rockwall within 30 points. You'd say it's unthinkable. Well, the swing from 2012 to 2020, say you can get it done. And let's talk about Kaufman County, where it's suddenly, I mean, yeah, Trump swung it right from 2012 to 2016 by about 2.5 points. But then 2020 comes around, Joe Biden wins the county. Well, he doesn't win the county, obviously. If Biden won Kaufman County, the Democrats would be winning Texas by 15 to 20 points, no problem. But Joe Biden comes in, swings the county 13 points left. Trump wins it by under 34%. Like, that's not nothing. Democrats should be aiming for Kaufman County to be within a 20 to 25 point Republican margin. Like, you think maybe you think it's a tall ask, but again, these things are quite reasonable when you look at the pars and trends of each county. And also, let's take a look down south. Let's take a look at Brazos County. This is where College Station is. This is where Texas A&M University is located. God bless them for all the cult things that they do, but it's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about the vast leftward shift of Brazos County, and in large part due to Texas A&M. It is a very large student body. You think our student body is large at around 40,000? Oh dear God. I have to look this up, but I'm pretty sure it eclipses like 60,000 or something mental like that. I'm looking it up right now, so apologies for the noise here, but Texas A&M student population, if you look it up, and you know, it has a combination of over 70,000 students, just under 75,000 as of the fall of 2022. So, mean, again, that's not nothing for a county which has just over 80,000 voters voting in the 2020 presidential election. So let's take a look at 2012. Mitt Romney wins the county by 35 points. And 8 years later, that's a 21-point shift left. Trump only won Brazos County by 14.3 percentage points in 2020, which in and of itself was an over 9-point shift left from 2016 when Trump won it by 23.7 points. So again, like you see leftward shifts. Now we go down to Houston. And first off, let's go ahead and take a look at Wallet County. I mean, it doesn't exactly fit the narrative of going here, but it is important. It's just, it's directly west of Harris County. It's more exurban than anything else. Trump swung it left. Trump swung it right big time from 2012 to 2016, from about Romney by 18 to Trump by 28, 29 or something like that. Biden only swung it 2 points left, and that was, so Wallet County potentially trended right compared to the nation, but you know, Democrats will want to start swinging Waller County left if they want to win Texas. I mean, Waller County isn't exactly that big. It is only, you know, around just over 22,000 registered voters, but it's a county you want to start swinging left in the very near future. But one county they are swinging left is Montgomery County. This has been described as one of the bedrocks of the Texas GOP. There are a lot of oil and gas interests in Southeast Texas, and Montgomery County has been R by 50 and R by 60 for the longest time. Mitt Romney exceeded the 60-point Republican margin in 2012. But then you go to 2016. Trump loses some ground. He only wins Montgomery County by 51.4 percentage points. And to say that a Republican candidate is only winning Montgomery by 51 percentage points, yes, but not only did he underperform George W. Bush twice, he also somehow underperformed John McCain. And this would continue in 2020 when Montgomery County goes from R by 51 to R by under 44 points. That's over a 7.5-point shift left in Montgomery County. Montgomery County casts a lot of votes. Donald Trump still in 2020 got around a 119,000 raw vote margin out of Montgomery County. And that accounted for well over 1/6 of Trump's total margin of victory. Like, that is quite important that that county is swinging left, because if Democrats can chip away at that raw vote margin once again, if they can get Montgomery County to about a 36 or 35 point margin in 2024, you start talking. Now, here is the big challenge. Harris County. Harris County has over 1.6 million people who voted in 2020. That is quite a lot, for what it's worth. I mean, that's by far and away the most votes of any county, but by a lot, I may add. I mean, just looking at it, it almost doubled what Dallas County did. Dallas County, just over 900,000 registered voters who voted in the 2020 presidential election. Harris having over 1.6 million, and Democrats really didn't swing this county at all. Like, it swung about, what, 1 point left from 2016 to 2020. It was Clinton by 12, and Biden won by 13 points. But Harris County is so large, you have to go within the county and see what the trends were there. And this goes to the biggest conundrum when you're talking about Democrats competing in and potentially flipping Texas out in 2024 by the end of the decade. There's a lot of Latinos in Harris County, especially in East Harris and the city of Houston. And they swung right by pretty comfortable margins. And if I, you look at Pasadena, you look at, you know, other areas that are majority Latino, they swung pretty heavily to the right, partially because of, you know, national trends, Latinos swinging right, and especially in the state of Texas. But there's a lot of oil and gas industry that happens in that area as well, and Republicans have painted themselves quite successfully as the party of oil and natural gas. So there are economic reasons for them to shift right, plus, you know, the sort of machismo effect, which has been studied a little bit, will also cause this as well. But when you look at other areas of Houston, you know, the black parts of Houston, just Houston has a pretty substantial black population, has a black mayor, for the love of God. They either stayed static or shifted a few points to the right, but let's talk about the other parts of Texas. The majority, the high college education, majority white, but somewhat diversifying, you know, areas of Houston. And you see in Alief and Katy and other areas in Spring, Texas, these areas shifted left by quite a ton from 2016 to 2020, some by over double digits. So those things counteracted, you know, the rightward trends that were also undergoing amongst voters of color, especially Latinos in Texas and in Harris County especially. The big question for Democrats that going in, this is a big question, like, can they get some meaningful swings in Harris County? If they can swing this on 5 to 6 points left, then we're talking. But if you can only swing it 2, 3, 4 points left, then probably not going to flip Texas, considering how much of an effect Harris County's potential swing will have on Democrats' chances of winning the state of Texas. I think it can be done, because let me ask you another thing. Do you think that Latinos in Harris County, Latinos in Texas, are going to shift 15 to 20 points right again? Do you think that that is realistic? I don't think so. I think that was more of a one-time shift, because if you remember, Latinos are very historically incumbent friendly. I mean, there is a reason why George W. Bush won Cameron County, the Rio Grande Valley, for the love of God, in 2004. There is a reason why a lot of these Rio Grande Valley counties, there's a reason why Webb County, which contains Laredo, there's a reason why, you know, Paso County also shifted left from 2008 to 2012. And you see the same thing in Duval County, you see the same thing in Chemehog, same thing in Brooks County, which were all in South Texas. And that you see because, again, there were shifts left amongst Latinos because Latinos are historically incumbent friendly. That did not change with Donald Trump. So there's that to consider as well. And also just the mathematical part of it all. Do you expect over a 30-point shift to the right from Texas Latinos over 8 years? No. That's just unfeasible. That's not going to happen. Sure, do I think Latinos can swing right again? Absolutely. But it's likely going to be within a 5-point shift rather than the 15 to 20 to 25 points that you've seen in a lot of these areas. And it was especially pronounced in South Texas, which we'll get to later. Like, a lot of these counties, a 28-point shift to the right, 40-point shift to the right, 32-point shift to the right, 20-point shift to the right, 55-point shift to the right in Starr County's case, going from Clinton by 6C to Biden by 5. Like, do you think that was Latinos shifting right? A permanent shift to right? Do we think that was of outsized voter turnout amongst conservative-leaning Latinos who didn't vote in 2016 but voted in 2020? And do you think that a lot of them are going to vote in 2024? Those are questions that you need to ask. But one thing that has been constant is college-educated areas from San Antonio to Austin to Dallas to College Station to Houston and back again, they shifted heavily to the left from 2012 to 2020, and it doesn't look like that's going to stop anytime soon. And considering the margins by which these areas are swinging, those margins, with the exception of Houston, are enough. I'll take a look at Fort Bend and Brazoria counties quickly. I mean, Fort Bend went from Romney by 7 to Clinton by 6.5 to Biden by 10.5. So you see about, you know, so you get about a 12-point shift, a 13-point shift from 2012 to 2016, another 4-point shift left from 2016 to 2020. And Fort Bend is also very interesting as well, because it has one of the highest percentages of Asian Americans living in any county in the country. So definitely in Texas, for the love of God. And it's pretty much kind of divided evenly between whites, you know, Hispanic Latinos, black people, and Asian Americans as well. So you have that to contend with as well. You know, can Democrats get, you know, 6, 7, 8 point swings left in Fort Bend? You know, if they can, then you can do it. You can actually do it. But can you do it at the presidential level, though? I'm not sure. Considering Trump won the state with 5.5 points, like, that is an extremely tall task. I will not lie. Like, I've been bigging up these swing slots from 2012 to 2016 to 2020 in the Texas Triangle. But you have to consider the fact that Democrats have to swing a state nearly 6 points left in order to get it and its 40 electoral votes to go to Democrats. Is that something that they can do? Yes, but it is very hard, I think. Especially because there are two, or let's say three areas that we want to focus on. First off is South Texas. Can they stem the tide of that area shifting extremely heavily to the right, especially in areas like Laredo and especially in Hidalgo and Cameron counties, you know, in areas like Brownsville, in areas, you know, like West Laco and areas like that. And the second question, can you get meaningful shifts left in Harris County? If you can do that, around, let's say, 6 to 7 point shifts left, then you start talking. In Brazoria County, you're already kind of starting to do that. It shifted left, you know, 16 points in 8 years, from Romney by 34 to Trump by 24.5 to Trump by 18. So you see, it can be done. But will the Democrats do it? I'm not sure, but it's going to require all hands on deck, especially in the Harris area. Like, if you can, like, let me be completely clear. Everything has to go right for Democrats to flip Texas presidentially in 2024. Like, I don't doubt you can get further swings in there. I definitely don't doubt you can get further swings in the Austin metro area. That has been proven over the past decade. And I don't doubt that they can get further swings of the kind they have been getting for the past decade in the Dallas metro area. But you have to be able to do the same in Houston as well. Like, what you've done in Montgomery and Brazoria, you also have to be able to do in Fort Bend, and especially in Harris County. If you can do that, then we'll start talking flipping. And I think that it can be done. Do I think that it will be done in 2020? Personally, on the 2024 presidential level, probably not. Because again, you're asking a lot. And especially, you know, you have East Texas that is shifting right. You have the Texas Panhandle that is, whose rural counties are largely shifting right. But then again, you talk about Wichita County, which went from Trump by 49 to, or nearly Trump by 50 to Trump by 41, which is a 9-point shift left in 4 years. You talk about Lubbock County, which went from Trump by 38.4 to Trump by 32.2. That's over a 6-point shift left as well. You know, you start talking about, you know, about Taylor County. I mean, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about Taylor County, this county, if you look it up right now, this is where Abilene is located. And this went from, you know, Trump by 51 to Trump by 45. So that's about a nearly 6-point shift left as well. So that's something you have to consider as well, even as the rest of the area starts to trend right. You know, if Democrats can stem the bleeding in El Paso, if you can sort of stem the bleeding in South Texas, and you can do everything else, then maybe, yeah. You could see Democrats getting within a point of flipping Texas presidentially. But the thing is, flipping Texas on the presidential level, not sure they're going to be able to get everything to go right, plus continued swings in Tyler, Texas, and Smith County, and also in Gregg County, Texas, Nacogdoches as well. Well, and also increased swings in ex-urban Dallas counties like Hunt and Grayson, and even areas like, you know, Parker, Hood, and Wise counties. They're Republican, but slowly starting to shift left and could be further affected by the Dallas metro as all shifting left. So that's why I have Texas as leaning Republican at the 2024 presidential level. Do I think Democrats can get it to within 3 points? Absolutely. And I honestly think that Democrats will get Texas to within 3 points presidentially. Can they get it to under 2 points? Absolutely. I think they can do that. But when you start talking about under 1 point and then flipping the state itself, it gets increasingly harder to do with every percent because you're asking just so much more of Democrats with every percentage point they chip away statewide. But just because I don't think Democrats are going to flip Texas in 2024 in the presidential level, it doesn't mean there's a Senate race with a pretty historically unpopular incumbent and what looks to be a strong Democratic candidate, whether that's Representative Colin Allred, who at the time of recording was just starting to update his website, as he took down his own website for remodeling on Friday. And you also have State Senator Roland Gutierrez, who represents a lot of the San Antonio suburbs and also represents the city of Uvalde, which, you know, if you know Uvalde and the Robb Elementary shooting, there's some tragic iconography to talk about there. So I think those two candidates are very strong. Colin Allred, especially for the Dallas metro area, because he represents the Dallas area U.S. House seat. Like, he could be very strong. Plus, he's a former NFL player. He's a big, strong, bald guy. I mean, Democrats have run this sort of framework before. John Fetterman of Pennsylvania is very tall, very bald, and beat Dr. Oz by 5 points in Pennsylvania. So it can be done. Roland Gutierrez is also very strong because his name ends in a consonant that ends, that is S or Z. He has a Latino Hispanic last name. And that is not nothing. Like, it has been proven before that identity politics amongst Latinos, it's not as strong as you could say with black people citywide, say Chicago or potentially Philadelphia's mayoral race, which is coming up in, you know, a few weeks, or 3, 4, 5 weeks. But it's the same thing here. Like, there was a down ballot race in Texas in 2020 where you had a white person with an Hispanic last name, Castaneda. You know, a name that ended in a vowel. In Hispanic areas, majority Hispanic areas shifted left from that race compared to the 2020 presidential race. So having a Gutierrez on the ballot, you know, on the top, near the top of the ticket, that is not nothing. That counts for something. You know, so those two candidates, I feel, are very strong. Plus, the incumbent Republican senator is Ted Cruz. Like, let's not beat around the bush here. Every one of Ted Cruz's Senate colleagues probably wants to drown him in a shallow bath. Like, no one likes him in the Senate. And that partially translates over to his own popularity in the state of Texas. Like, again, in 2018, Beto O'Rourke came within 3 points of beating a Republican statewide in Texas. That is not nothing. Also, you have to consider the sort of, you know, you could say during 2022 presidential run of Beto O'Rourke against Greg Abbott, but he came into the race knowing he was going to lose, knowing there was going to be differential turnout that favored the Republicans in the 2022 midterms. And he still decided to run a race and decide, you know, they're going to keep Republican margins down here. And he kept them down to about a 12-point victory for Republicans, which, considering Greg Abbott is a popular incumbent governor in the state of Texas, that's still somewhat impressive. That's still something to be noted. Like, yes, Greg Abbott improved on Trump 2016, but again, consider that Texas is red or down ballot. And to keep up party infrastructure is also very important when you're in the business of dealing with flipping a state as large as Texas is. 40 electoral votes, for the love of God. And also something to consider, just looking at the national landscape of 2024, Texas is the only state that Democrats have to flip a Republican-held Senate seat. Just what other opportunities do they have? Florida, don't make me laugh. Like, Democrats are largely going to be on the fence, nearly totally going to be on the fence, because not only do you have Trump won seats in Montana, Ohio, and West Virginia you have to worry about, don't even get me started on West Virginia, Joe Manchin is dead on arrival, but you also have to defend seats in Michigan, which is an open seat, you have to defend seats in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, you have to defend a seat in Arizona, you have to take a seat away from Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona. And you have, but keep it in the sort of Democratic caucus, if you know what I mean. Kyrsten is now an independent with caucusing with Democrats. It's weird. but you also have to hold a Senate seat in Nevada, which looks to be one of the closest swing states to the 2024 presidential cycle. So you're going to have to spend basically all your money on defense. And you also defend in three Trump won states. Like Ohio, Trump won by 8.5. Montana, Trump won by, you know, God knows how many points. He won by 16.4 percentage points in Montana. Trump won by 8 points in Ohio, just looking at it now. But I mean, you can forget about Trump by 39 West Virginia. You have to defend one of Montana and Ohio at the bare minimum. Like, Democrats have to win two of Montana, Ohio, and Texas. And Texas is the closest state of those to going blue on the presidential level. So if you assume that Democrats will be able to keep either John Tester or Sherrod Brown but lose the other, then you have to knock off Ted Cruz if you want any chance at a Democratic trifecta. Because that would have a Republican net gain of one, therefore 50-50 Senate. Therefore, if Democrats win the House and the presidency at the same time, you return to a sort of similar situation to what we had in 2021 to 2022. You have a Democratic trifecta that depends on all Democrats being united in the Senate. Whoever the most moderate Democrat in the Senate is that isn't Kirsten Sinema or Joe Manchin, whether that be sort of like a Mark Warner or Chris Coons type character, you could still see Democratic priorities be passed in 2024. But I think you have to win Texas at the Senate level, especially if you want to win the Senate. And what about the presidential race? What if Democrats win Texas on the presidential level in 2024? I already said that's 40 electoral votes. But if I take a look at 270 to Win, it's a website where you can, it's an interactive website where you can see sort of, you know, how many, which states, which party needs to win in order to win a presidential election. So, say Texas goes blue, right? And Democrats hold every state minus Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia. If Texas goes blue, Republicans would have to hold North Carolina, which isn't guaranteed for what it's worth. That state's a toss-up in 2024. But Republicans would also have to flip Nevada. You also have to flip Wisconsin. You have to flip Pennsylvania. And you also have to flip Arizona. You also have to flip Georgia. And you also have to flip Michigan. And did you see how Michigan voted in 2022? With Gretchen Whitmer getting a double-digit victory over Tudor Dixon and Democrats getting a statewide trifecta in the state? Do you know how hard it is for Republicans to win the presidency without Texas? Without Texas, if Democrats win just one of the six battleground states that they won in 2020, they would win the presidential election. Because from a state as large as Pennsylvania, if they win just Pennsylvania, Democrats have 285 electoral votes. But if Democrats win a state as small as, say, Nevada, that still gets them to 272 electoral votes. That's the majority. So forget the symbolic nature of a once lively Republican state going blue. Texas going blue would absolutely break the Republican Party. And on the presidential level. And the Democrats know this. So given that, given the fact that this is the only offensive Senate opportunity for Democrats, I think they're going to be pouring in a lot of money in Texas to see if they can't make it break, if not the presidential level, but the Senate level. Do I think they'll be able to do it presidentially? No. But do I think they can do it on the Senate level? Yes, considering that I think Texas will be within 3 points, potentially within 2 points. And Ted Cruz is a very unpopular incumbent. Like, him running instead of like a generic Republican, that loses around 2 to 3 points off the margin. Potentially 4 points if the Democrats have an especially strong candidate. If Colin Allred or Roland Gutierrez determine themselves to be incredibly strong candidates. So I'm not saying that it will happen, but I'm saying it is a lot less far-fetched than everyone makes it out to be. Thank you for tuning into today's episode. Tomorrow, I will be discussing the mainstream media massacre, from the firings of Don Lemon and Tucker Carlson to the dangers that are being undertaken by BuzzFeed, Vice News, and 538. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see y'all tomorrow.
Any opinions expressed in this program are those of the host and do not represent the thoughts or opinions of 90.7 WVUA or the University of Alabama.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.